up, man?
Oh, are you saying hi first today?
I am.
You must be in a good mood, Eli.
I'm trying to be.
You're in a good mood. You got a couple dudes here putting a shot with.
I know, we got some meatheads in here elevating the room.
It's always a good time when you got some meatheads in the room.
It is, dude. Fellow, it is.
Real meatheads that actually like watch their diet and look shredded.
That's right.
That's the real meathead. Always fun. That music always gets me cranking, man. Lonka. Yeah. Like those dudes. They're on tour right now. Did I say that last time on the podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Good guys.
Super what do we got here today, man? Let's go into it. Well, you're kind of waiting for me for the first time ever.
Well,
you're
waiting for me. You fucking said hi first.
Welcome.
So now I'm like, oh, he's now taking the torch.
Welcome.
I don't even know why I'm here now.
To the Day One Dollar Zero podcast, everyone. If it's your first time checking it out, appreciate you being here. I am one of the hosts here, Eli Schmidt, and my partner, Will Grimes. Boom. There he is.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate you, man. Tell everyone who we got here.
Yeah,
I'm excited
for this one. Good friends, man. Yeah, I've known these guys for a long time and don't interact a ton, like, because we're fucking working, right? Everybody's working, doing their grind and doing their thing. And but we've got Max here.
What's going on?
We've got Justin here, fellow Marine Justin here. We're going to get into the company, but these guys have been grinding, man. Like, I think when I first got into real estate three and a half years ago, it's about the same time you guys were cranking Jaywalkers, right? And super cool. We had another young buck on not too long ago, but man, as much as we're trying to grow and expand it, we've had some really cool dudes / big names, right? Mm-hmm. Like the Andy Frisellas, the Ben Newmans, the Iron Cowboys. Those are big names, but they're also just cool fucking dudes, right? And we were so appreciative when they were on our podcast, and we've been on theirs. But something that I still like want to make sure we do no matter what, it's like just watching guys that are on the come up right now that are on the grind.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's what really gets my gears going. It's just like watching guys in the trenches.
Especially
right?
Guys that are really doing it, man. Because there's a lot of guys that appear to be on the come up and appear to be doing some shit.
Fuck them.
You never see a product come out. You never see their advertisements come across your page. Like you guys, man, like I knew you guys were kind of doing your thing and just kind of knew you guys from like the local fitness scene. But then I'm on Instagram and I'm seeing like, the best part is like you're seeing high quality ads that I'm actually engaged with. Like, ooh, that's a product I would like. And then I see the name at the end. I'm like, oh, that's those fucking guys.
Or sex, or Sexy Max on Instagram.
Or Sexy Max on Instagram.
I connect with that. But the bottom line is, man, here's the core of it, in my opinion. They had a great idea, and they fucking got after it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is, and I'm excited to talk to them, and maybe we can even pull some ideas for ourselves. But Justin, man, why don't you introduce yourself first? Say, I know you're the less of the talker.
Yeah, I'm
going to put you
one
on the spot. Just who you are, what you're all about, where the Jaywalker name came from.
Yeah, Justin Freeman. Originally from Louisiana, moved here in Colorado for high school. Then shortly afterwards, went to the Marine Corps, like yourself. Yeah, stayed a couple years and kind of realized it wasn't what I wanted to do. I wanted control over my life and how it ended. And like, everything was planned out for me when I was in there. Ended up getting married. Every Marine does.
So you were in the Marine Corps.
Yep.
You were an armorer.
Yep.
And you got big fucking arms. We're not going to talk about that. You're just going to go right over
it. I've always genetics. You know this. You lived with someone with genetics. And I had the genetics. And a lot of people when I was in told me I should be a bodybuilder. Why haven't you tried it? So, went on leave 1 year, did a bodybuilding show, got second. And I was like, oh, that was good for someone who didn't diet or anything. I just showed
up. Damn.
Man,
motherfucker,
cool?
Dude. I want to hear that.
Yeah. So, after I got out, I was like, let me give it a try again, So I decided to do the same show I did when I was in the military. I took a 3-year break because, I was deploying and everything like that. Came back, there was a guy who had helped me the first time a couple weeks, and I was like, hey, let me give it a try again. Only dieted for about a month, Most people died 3 or 4 months. Dieted for a month, went into the show, all natural, didn't try anything, won the whole show.
Here's what's cool, because we're going to get back to that. But, here's what's going to be super intriguing. You got away with it there, right?
Yeah.
But at some point, I'm sure you had to take it serious and start getting dialed in. Here's what's fun about entrepreneurship and business. Nobody is gifted. Even if you got talent for business, everybody's starting from fucking scratch and nobody knows who you are, which would be super intriguing, right? And Max is like my favorite Instagram dude. Max, what's your Instagram?
Oh, Maximus _ McFitz.
Maximus McFitz.
Classic.
Just funny shit, just getting after it. And I do like the lighthearted side because bottom line is business is super hard. But man, you always make it look fun and you're having a good time and you're out with different people and doing the stretch pants and things like that. But man, I got to know, and if you guys don't know, we're going to put all the links into the podcast so you guys can find Jaywalkers. But Jaywalkers is an apparel company, primarily pants. Yep. and they put like 7 gallon Deep Rock water things into their pants to show you, and then they go right back to where they're supposed to. You almost think it's fake when you watch it, but they've been doing it for a while. But Max, man, like, how did you get involved with Justin, and like, what did that look like for you guys? And man, I'm so, and answer at your own leisure, but I'm so curious about the name. You know, like, where that came from, like, because I was a cop for a while. It's like, oh, you're a jaywalker? What are you trying to say? You just some punk-ass bitch not using the crosswalk? You fucking exactly. Going against the grain?
Going against it. You know, you ever see that guy in a right gym there. That yeah. works out in jeans? You're like, what is the guy doing on a leg press? He's working out in jeans. Yeah, yeah. He's not supposed to do that.
Yeah. yeah. So against the grain.
Exactly.
Rogue. Maybe a different form of rogue. Mm-hmm. Going rogue kind of thing. But, yeah. man, I'm curious. Like, how did you guys meet? And then, more importantly, when did that decision come to, like, go at this together? Was that like at the very, very beginning? Did you already have the idea, or how did this kind of come about?
So
we had like all worked at the same spot. So like, right. you know, we were doing Fit Republic. I was still working part-time. He was full-time and I was yeah. working a security job. And, you know, like I was working a security job and the pay was a little bit better. So I told you I cut down the hours at Fit Republic. And, you know, I came by him and, you know, he was putting in the hours. The store was doing well. Yeah. And after I knew it was kind of going down, and he was bringing it back up. And I was like, man, this dude is putting 60, 70 hours in.
Yeah.
Even on his off time, he's still working for them. And I'm like, I'm making just as much as him doing part-time security. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, man, like, he is like, he doesn't, you know, I was just like, dang, I don't know if this dude sees his value or not. And I'm like, just watching him like man. Bring up the store and like, this dude is good at business.
And that's an interesting you know? Thing you say, like, man, I don't see they saw your value, because let's correlate that back to fitness.
Yeah.
Phil Heath himself has a bodybuilding coach, mm-hmm. correct? Mm-hmm. Because yep. it's like, man, probably for you when your head's down and you're grinding and you're getting after it and you're trying to win there, no, like not, you don't always have that peripheral yeah. vision to like see your own value or to see where your expansion was. Yeah. So it's cool that you kind of identified.
Yeah,
that
it was outside looking in, and I was just like, man, he's really like, he's yeah. good at this, you know? And yeah. I had been at Fit Republic a little bit longer, so I knew like from other stores, like how much he was growing the store. That I was like,
yeah.
this dude could just do this by himself.
So you're smart, not just you know? Sexy.
Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah, so how did that look like from your side, man? Like when you're doing that and then Justin approaches you and you guys are, you know, you, did you have like a proposition for him? Like, hey, I'm starting this
it was,
company.
Or? It was kind of like he's okay. So yeah, Max is a go-getter. So Max is a go-getter. Like he's good with initiating things. Like if he has an idea, he'll jump on it. Me, I'm a procrastinator. Mm-hmm. Like I'll have a good idea and like it'll sound perfect, but I'll never like make this jump. Mm-hmm. But like I have it lately. If once I make the jump, I'll get it done. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I had worked a security job and. Like, we're yep. just talking about the bodybuilding stuff. I was growing and shrinking all the time. So one day, I'm like, you know, 165. 2 months later, I'm 210. Mm-hmm. So it was hard for me to find clothes. And I found, you know, I went to a store one day, and I had been shopping all day. And I finally found a pair of pants that fit. So I was wearing that sucker, like, every day at my mm-hmm. security job. And, you know, I came into the store, and, like, I was like, oh, I like that color green, man, blah, blah, blah. Those pants are nice. And nice. I had two pairs that are green and a black pair. And then I remember I'd always come in to talk to him because he's a people person. He's yeah. building the store. I like to see how everything's going. And then I come in one day, and I go to reach for something, and I rip my pants. Mm. And I'm like, dude, this is my favorite pair of pants. It took me forever to get it. And I was like, I don't think I'll be able to find another pair, blah, blah, blah. And, like, you know, he's talking about, like, why don't you just make your own? And I was like, He's like,
thanks, Max, yeah. fucker. yeah. Oh, must like, be nice. Must be easy to say that at a supplement store.
Yeah, I'm like, He's like, if you do it, I'll go in on it with you. And I'm just like, I don't know about that, man.
Well, yeah,
like,
I remember you were wearing those. You came in a few times wearing those one pants that I liked
pair.
A lot.
Yeah.
And I was like, those are like really cool. Dope. Like, yeah. And he showed me that they actually stretched. And yeah. I ended up getting a pair myself. And I'm like, I love these. And I'm like, dude, what? Why don't we maximize yeah. take this concept and
make
maximize
it better?
Because they stretch a little bit. But what if we like yeah. increase that like tenfold almost.
And had a certain fit for more athletic guys too.
Yeah, exactly. So it was hard because I was in the bodybuilding scene, so everybody I knew, they could not find pants that fit because they had little waist, big quads. So like searching for pants was like almost impossible.
Yeah.
So and like I said, it took me like the whole day, and I was like, there's no market for it. Like there's not pants meant for guys with small waist, big legs. I was like, and he, I was like, dude, we should just do it, you know? And like that was it sucked because like we're so close-minded, like limiting ourselves just to bodybuilders. But once we actually started like, you know, getting people's like feedback and stuff, it's like we realize
well, you guys
a
have a
market.
Good one. I think it's a bigger market because yeah. your guys' credit, like the name is cool,
yeah,
the logo, the branding that you guys are bringing around it, and like not everybody in your stuff is just like this huge bodybuilder. You guys have a lot of like fit people, but just really cool looking people on your Instagrams. And we were talking before this podcast. Go, hey man, what's really cool about the relationships for you guys is just being industry disruptors. Like we were talking about real estate agents. this whole era of like the three-piece suit, and it looks nice. We're not against it, but man, you're hustling and bustling and you're showing homes and you're going around. Like, credit to the internet and to HGTV. Like, you've got a lot of like top realtors on TV, minus Ryan Serhant, right? That guy's still committed to a suit. That wear super nice clothes, and they have like the black or the dark blue leather shoes with the white rubber bottom, and they wear super nice fitted pants with an untucked yet fitted shirt. And it's a great look. And I'm like, man, your guys' pants have a great look, a great feel, and they're stretchable. So whether you're a bodybuilder or not, just climbing up stairs, getting in and out of cars, just having a pant that can stretch that's durable for how active realtors have to be. Man, like, imagine like a female one. Like, how many females love wearing sporty shoes?
Tights.
Or
they
wear leggings everywhere.
And that was
the Jaywalker females, like, it looks just as nice as the men's pair, but they're fitted for like business casual. There's such a market for that. But very little companies have like that swagger and that good, crisp feel to them where people would actually like, yeah, that's fucking cool. And you guys are really doing a good job with that, you know? And like, but kind of rewinding a little bit. So you guys have this idea. All right, cool. Fuck it. We're going to do it. Like, what did that look like? How to start, Max? How to start?
Well, I guess first we had to figure out how to outsource the fabric and stuff, right? So we ended up actually, we knew somebody else locally that had a clothing company. So we started talking to him and tried to figure out if we could use his manufacturers. And so we kind of had a middleman for a little while. So we were going through this guy who was like a middleman between us and the manufacturer he used.
A broker.
Yeah. So
cheers.
I'm assuming that he probably got, you know, some sort of deal out of that. Like, bringing
as he should, he got
stuff.
You guys a relationship.
100%, 100%. And so we were going through that, and we started by, you know, sending out a couple pairs of pants that we liked, like kind of how the fit was and stuff. And we told them our idea and how we wanted to maximize that stretch on them.
Yep.
And so we went, I don't even know how many. We sampled so many different fabrics.
And they're not cheap to sample.
Yeah.
So, I bet.
And we're broke. Like, we're
like hundreds of dollars for like a sample. Yeah, exactly. Just one pair of pants.
You know, you guys ain't starting up like a Teespring shop or something like that.
This was real pretty. Even got a loan, so custom. This is all our money, our personal money going into this.
Exactly. So when we started, like, obviously we were like every average person. Like, we didn't have that much money. So what me and him did, it's nice to have a business partner, because it's like doing it all on your own does a lot of stress. So it took a lot of financial stress off of me having Max there. And so we were like both putting up half. Like, so every month we'd put like $500. Like, hey, say $500 is going towards the business.
Yep.
And so we're using that $500 to sample out, like to buy the clothes that we like and to ship it out. Shipping is not cheap. It's like $100 for one pair of pants.
Well, and here's why, man. It still takes them the same amount of time to set up machines and make one pair of pants. As it does to make 100.
Exactly.
So all that setup time and prep time, it's the same. So you're still gonna pay a chunk.
Exactly.
Man, I'm glad you said teammate too, because one of the most uncommon things Eli and I talk about, that's the most obvious, that we talk about all the other intricacies with social media and how we've had some success. And we're gonna get into it more now that people have asked questions, but one of the most unsung things we don't talk about is the power of him and I being a partnership and like his qualities, you know, and like we were talking about it before the podcast. We're like, hey man, I'm more like this methodical guy. Max is like, hey, if someone's doing us wrong or causing trouble, he's the guy that's like, he's ready to kill him. I feel like Max is like, my name is Maximus Decimus Aurelius. I will have my vengeance.
I say that every night before. Yeah.
Oh dude, what a cool name. But what do you got as far as like, as you guys expanded, and I'm curious to hear this, man, almost selfishly, because I got a partner in my business. You know, people ask us like, hey, what are your guys' roles and responsibilities and how did that come? And I think and I'm curious to hear you guys, and just prefacing a little bit, his and I's solely came from him and I have no ego toward one another. Like, I'm really good at some things. He's really good at things. We do have an overlap that we both, like, him and I both can execute contracts and do certain things just as well as the other. But then he's got some great qualities to him that are far beyond my reach. And then I've got some qualities, you know, that might be beyond his reach. But there was always transparency, honesty, no ego. Like, whatever fell into his strengths, it's like, cool, man, you got that. And then I took the initiative to make sure I was taking care of, like, my strengths. And then as we grew, roles and responsibilities had to expand and communication was important. But how did that fall into, was it similar for you guys? Like, did you guys just vibe?
It kind of just fell into place.
Yeah, we kind of already knew. I knew his strengths and I knew mine. And, like, I knew what I sucked at. So I'm like, hey, this is you. Like, I'm going to be able to help what I can, but I know this is what you're good at.
Yeah.
And I'll let you take control of it, and I'll do the other end, because I'm good at working. I'm a good, you know, he is very good at what he does. And like, I'm a behind the scenes person. I like consistency. So with me.
So you're like behind the scenes in the game and you're tip of the spear going out, building the brand, funneling more ideas, more traffic, more things. Yeah. Kind of similar to like how I roll with, with our business. And man, he's so good at like, no matter how much shit I shovel and into the business and fun, like he's really good at the organizational tasks and the consistency behind it. I'm really good at like some coaching stuff, but man, the stability we have, you know, from him, it's like it's our backbone. It's our, it's our stabilizer, you know?
And it's all necessary. It really is. It's just a, like when you hear like the funnel, it's exactly it. You know what I mean? He's someone grabbing all the big shit and then someone kind of organizing the shit and then it just kind of moves through.
In the past year, you guys have super, super been more present on social media. It's fucking baller. You got some cool sponsored athletes and some things in there. And him and I got to a tipping point. I'm curious to hear the story behind your guys'. Man, it's so fun talking to you guys because it's like we're speaking our own language to two partners, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Him and I, we got to this point, like we butt heads here and there, you know, all good. Yeah. But we got to this point where, man, we were so secure. It was never about, we don't have breakup conversations.
Yeah.
There is no like, well, fuck this. I'm just fucking out of here, man. Nope. Like we hit this tipping point where like, nope, we just trusted each other 100%.
Yeah.
And we knew it was there, and we were no longer concerned with, like, if someone's going to be here or not, or what someone's, like, we grew, and we had that tipping point, and man, like, if full scale, we really started to grow. Was there a tipping point for you guys in your relationship of, like, where it really hit that next level, and you felt like there was more commitment, more trust? Is there a funny story? Was there a good throwdown?
I guess it was after the business actually started, and we saw that it was legit. So, like, you know, like I said, it took a couple thousand, like around a, like $5,000 point. Like we already kind of like knew our product. It took about $5,000. Then we knew what we wanted. And then it was like, okay, well, we don't have money. We're broke.
Shit.
But we already, you know, we already had invested towards the business. So I was like, okay, we can get a loan, you know. We're, you know, prior military, we can get better rates.
Hell yeah.
So
fuck your credit up. Hell yeah.
Yeah,
bro.
You know, so we get a little bit of discount. So we go in and like, I'm a little bit of a talker like you are. Like, I can make somebody believe something that's probably not even true.
Excuse me,
but you believe in it. And it will be true.
I sell it. You can sell it to them.
It will be true someday.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, if I fucking believe in it, it's real.
Exactly.
Get on board.
So,
get on board.
You know, we get there. We got kind of like, you know, they ask us for a projection sheet and all this stuff. You know, we go for a loan. And I'm just like, you know, BSing the numbers, kind of like, all right, I think we can, this is reasonable. We can do this. Go on and I'm showing the numbers.
Welcome
and like,
to America.
Yeah.
Trump himself fabricated numbers to
exactly.
grow.
Like, so they're like, this looks reasonable. Like, we can give you what you want. So, and it wasn't a big loan. It was $15,000.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people think we got this massive amount. Was not. $15,000. We, you know, got our first order after we got the loan. And we were kind of like, we'll see what happens. You know, we got the order in and then like, before we even launched our website, we didn't even have a website yet. We're just going, taking it as it comes.
Yeah.
So we get the pants in, and I'm just like, we know people around here. Like, we're, you know, we know the community around us. And people are like, you got your stuff in? I'm like, yeah. So I just go to, like, a barbershop, and, like, next thing you know, I'm just selling pants left and right.
Yeah.
We didn't know how many people just wanted to support us because of the people we were. They
but that's so important that you went to them, though, too, man. Like, selling shit out of your trunk, going to barbershops, going to gyms. Like, everybody that you were already around that was already supportive of you.
Yeah.
Like, you were bringing the product to them.
Yeah, we didn't even have a product yet. They didn't know what it felt like. They just knew we were going
to do
something.
Well, you had a product. You just bring it to them, right.
So they, you know, we, for the first couple of weeks, we just, like, sold, like, just people that we knew. And we're like, after a couple of weeks, we're like, man, we can really do this. Like, I, you know, I'm bringing max cash. Like, dude, I think we're going to be good. We're already making the money back, you know?
Yeah.
And so then he's like, all right. He's, like I said, he's a go-getter. He's like, all right, we need to get this website up. You know, we're selling, like, using our time to go to people. We need to get this website up.
Yeah, e-commerce, get all that
organized.
Yeah,
he's like, we need to get it out faster to people. Because, you know, like, us just
trying to pay somebody to do our website and stuff, and they were were taking so long that I just said screw it and I just built it myself.
Squarespace for it, man.
Because we needed to get it going,
dude. And it's another gold nugget too, like especially when you're starting out, and like all these young entrepreneurs listening right now, this podcast was in my basement before it was ever where it's ever right now, right? Like we're still
that's where our storage
not
was
where we want to
my
be.
Mom's basement.
But here's what's so important, like someone's taking too long. Like, no one will care more about your shit than you.
Yeah.
And that's just how this world, and it's all good. But having the initiative, like, okay, it's taking too long. Let me get onto Squarespace, Fourspace, whatever it's called, right? And you just, let me figure out how to, it doesn't have to be the most innovative website on the fucking planet. Some good photos, some good structure, but it's got e-commerce and it's got our stuff on there and it gives people access. Like, at the end of the day, brand building, real estate, whatever it is, there's a product to be sold. yes, integrity, have great products and all that. But at the end of the day, like, you can't have friction around people wanting your product. Mm-hmm. Wherever people can access your product and then want to pay, it's got to be seamless. You don't want that to be hard, mm-hmm. right? You want to make sure you can get your product to your customers, especially the ones that are already supporting you. But like, dude, it's that shit. It's selling shit at barbershops. And it's, oh, this is taking too long. How about I just build it? And like, that's him. This dude is so, he's like the born entrepreneur, never wanted to go to school. Entrepreneur at 17 years old, fuck the world, like Green Day. That's him, dude. But it's so cool that he is. And it's cool that, like, very similar, man. Like, I'll build it myself. Yep, like, where do you think that comes from with you, man? Like, being resourceful like that.
Honestly, I don't really know. I've just always been a very, very fast-paced person. Always try to get things done as quick and efficient as possible.
But you didn't call and complain that people weren't getting it done fast enough. You got it done.
Yeah.
Where do you think that comes from?
I don't know. My dad has always been tried to start his own business and do things himself. Not going to say that he did a great job of it, but I think I probably get that from my dad. Mm-hmm.
Right.
A lot of times it is DNA, man. Like, that's one of those things, kind of like musicians, I feel like. Yeah. A lot of, like, if your family plays music, it's kind of inherited in you. I find that with business. And that's honestly one of my questions with you guys is, was that in any of your guys' family or anything like that?
It definitely, not really in my family. Like I said, my dad always tried to, but never successfully did it. But at the time when I was at working retail at Fit Republic and doing personal training, I was actually going to school for exercise physiology. So my game plan was actually to get my my doctors of physical therapy. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I started working at Fit Republic, saw this company growing. I loved how it grew, and things didn't work out. And I decided that I wanted to go the entrepreneur route instead. That so I completely changed up the whole direction of my entire life.
Yeah, neither one of us graduated college.
Yeah, I literally put in like 3 years, and then there was no way I could do it at the same time.
I'm the outlier that went to school. You guys, you know. But it's cool, and it's interesting because we are in front of a lot of entrepreneurs, and especially like in the real estate space. And it sounds so basic, but it's not like the whole like, man, something's taking too long or somebody's not quite able to get this website because like they're kind of hooking me up, but it's at the bottom of their priority list and it's going to take 6 months to get my website. Build it myself. Like, do you know how rare that is?
Yeah.
It sounds so probably basic to you, basic math.
Yeah.
It's not, man. It's like, it's just finding an opportunity in things versus like being stuck on obstacles and finding like excuses as to like why things aren't moving forward versus like, hey, I'll just take the torch back and I'll carry it as long as I can until I got to try to pass it back off to something or someone. Man, it's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
When did you guys feel like, so you made that first run and that's when you knew like, all right, we got
something. It's going to be okay. Like after the first couple weeks, we're like, man, we can do this. Like we're already paying back a loan. And I was like, we could pay this off at the end of the year if we wanted to, you know? So like he started the website and like, you know, the first month it wasn't that great, but like my goal was like, hey, we sell 2 pairs of pants a day, do the math. We're on top of it, you know?
Yeah.
And then we did the first month and we're like, okay, we hit our goal. And then, you know, like we started pushing marketing, you know, that's what he's good at. He's the marketer. So
he's good at taking,
we started taking,
off.
Instead of taking the money. So
the initial, not at it.
Exactly. So a lot of problems, people like want to spend the money that they're getting. So we kept working our job so that we didn't have to use the money that for the business. Yeah, the money for the business goes directly back into the business. Yeah, we didn't make that much the first couple of months, but we realized we couldn't pay ourselves. Like we had to just keep doing our side jobs and making sure everything went back into
for a while.
Yeah, we didn't pay ourselves like for at least a year.
Anything.
Minimum. Mm-hmm. So we were just like everything we realized, like in order to grow it, you have to keep putting more and more. The more money we're gonna give the manufacturer, the better deal he's gonna give us. So we're like, we realized like we needed to, you know.
Now your margins go up.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So we were just like everything has to go back into it. Like none of it's gonna go to us. And then you know, holiday season hit, and that's when we're like, okay, this is real. Like we were had our stuff in his mom's basement, and like when that holiday season hit that first year, she was like, you know, I'm not going to lie. I thought you guys were going to do this for like a couple months and then just stop. And then she like, next thing you know, her basement is like full of pants. And she's just like, I can't believe this. I thought you guys were just joking. And we're like, no.
Are you guys boxing up all the orders?
Yeah, I do everything manually. So they think it's a big team. Like it's literally just me and Max. Yeah. I get people on emails like your team. So I'm like, they're talking to a 50% owner right here. Talking to me like I suck. I'm like, and I do my best job because like, obviously, when it's your business, it's a direct reflection of you. So it's like, I don't want anyone else doing my job right now because, you know, it comes back on me as a company. Like, we are the company. So it's like, you know, I do my best of my ability. And it's like, at the end of the day, the customer, like we learned from Kurt, the customer comes first. Like, you got to make the, you know, like, they're always right. The customer always right. So that was the one thing, like, you know, regardless of whatever, we had our relationship with Fit Public. There are some key values I did learn. The customer is always right. So a customer coming to me all incorrect, they ordered the wrong item. I'm sitting there, and I'm just like, I know they ordered the wrong size. Yep. And I'm just like, oh, I'm sorry about that, you know. And I, like, proceed to give them what they want, because at the end of the day, they're going to be a returning customer.
Man, we've evolved from that a little bit. You know what I feel like? Customer's always right. And then there's some assholes.
Oh, there definitely
there's
are.
Always some assholes.
And, like, here's where it,
that's why he does the customer service and I do not.
Yeah, and it's interesting. And, like, as you guys grow your team, I'll be interested to hear, because, like, something that's been super important to Eli and I is we've got two forms of customers now. We've got people that are buying and selling homes, and we've got agents that work with us that we give business to execute the deal, correct? Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of my customer as well, right? Like, they're part of the team. And what you start noticing is, like, yep, customers are always right, because especially, like, in our world, if they say something that's incorrect or had an you know, or an expectation, or, you know, or a thought that just isn't right. Mm-hmm. Hey, they're right, because, hey, we can just take the extreme ownership in the fact that, hey, we just didn't inform you properly.
Yeah.
Cool. And then we reverse, educate, come up with a game plan, mitigate what's ever going wrong, make it right. Cool. But then there's, like, that other type of customer that's just an asshole. And then if I get a call about that, and if you think I'm going to, like, go torch my agent when I know you're an asshole, you're wrong.
Yeah, we just...
You can get fucked. Yeah. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. I got my agent's back.
Yeah, we just had an experience like that actually a couple
right?
of days
and
ago.
Like, man, and, like, I kind of took that from Gary Vee. I didn't take, but I learned that a little bit from when Gary Vee was talking a couple years ago, when he talks about, like, how important VaynerMedia is to him and all the people, like, their culture, their work ethic, how well everyone does. And, like, hey, the likelihood of my person not doing good and you being an asshole is almost guaranteed. And if you're going to be super difficult or demeaning or whatever, and you think I'm going to go write up my employee because you just want to be on a soapbox and complain, that business can just walk out of the door and we'll go get more, because this guy that's working for me is my longevity, my relationship. He's the guy that's going to sustain more business. You're going to complain. I'm going to go yell at this guy and fire this guy. And then when our transaction's done, you're not sending us business.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's that fine line of, like, people being super understanding or kind, and maybe they got different personalities, but they're more than cordial working with. Even if a mistake happens or they weren't quite informed, you make those adjustments. Everyone's happy, good to go. Even if it costs some money sometimes, all good.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Those people that get toxic, man, I hope you don't ever think I'm going to go bitch out my agent, unless it's really my agent's fault. But, man, more times than not, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, like, that's where I start. Customers always right, like, in some aspects until you have more people. And it's like,
we just had an incident like that, and I was like, I'm about to let this guy have it. But Max knows how I am. Like, he literally had a customer call him on his personal phone, and he's like,
I don't even know how he got my
number. How did this guy get my number?
Yeah.
You know, like, a customer asked to return a size, and, you know, I was like, right away, like, I respond back within 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I respond back, send him his return label. Apparently, he didn't even see it, like, because it came from our actual email. So he's, like, writing us a Facebook review, writes all his bad stuff about
Jesus.
Me personally, like, not responding back.
Yep.
And then I got Max, hey, man, this guy just called me. He's like, say you didn't do your job and this and that. And I'm like, hold on.
Yeah.
I know I did. I remember this guy's name. So I go in there and I, like, here look, like, oh. There's the evidence, a screenshot, I sent it to him. I'm like, all right, man, I'm about to let this dude have it. Then I get on there and I, like, send an email. I was like, can you please take this Facebook?
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, and I'm just, like, super nice about it.
How was that, like, conversation between you guys? Like, you get that call, right?
Yeah.
And then how did it go between you guys?
Oh, man, I got the messages. Like, I'm just, you know, like, I'm doing everything, so I see it all. And it's just like, you know, I'm very
Max,
good.
Were you at first, like, frustrated or thought,
well,
like...
I saw the email from that guy already, because we have one email that we shared that a lot of the customer support emails go to. So sometimes I look at them and then I remark them as unread so he still sees them or whatever. But I knew from what he said when he called me that it was the exact same guy. And I was just kind of confused, like, how he got my number. But I was like, hey, yeah, listen, like, our customer service will definitely get back to you. And I remembered in my head, too, seeing that email was maybe like 10 hours prior.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew that he didn't even give him, he gave him maybe less than 12 hours to respond. So,
oh, man.
Yeah, I knew it was, like, not like a big deal. So, like, yeah, when I talked to you, I wasn't like, hey, get on this. I was just like, yeah, that guy called me. He's pretty pissed off.
And that's where, like, him and I are at now, too. Like, him and I have been working together long enough. Like, we understand each other. Like, even if something bad happens or even if something, like, is on me, like, he knows I'm harder on myself than anybody. So I don't, and then vice versa. We're like, hey, we came to that point where it's like, benefit of doubt is there.
The mutual trust.
Yeah. We have pride in what we do. So, like, I trust him. Like, when he does anything related to advertising, I trust his, you know,
and
his
judgment
on it.
Like, do you guys do account, like, do you guys meet once a week?
Yeah, or? We do, like, Wednesday. We'll meet up because that's when he's, like, you know, working.
Yeah.
Not really actually working. Well, he's working on a business. He's getting paid to do his job.
Yep.
You know. Yeah, so
I love his hump days.
Yeah, we meet up on Wednesdays and kind of just go over what the plan is for the next week. Like, some weeks there's nothing. We need deload weeks every once in a while because, like, we'll go crazy for 2 weeks.
Yep.
Oops, sorry about that.
I got you.
But, yeah, definitely that's kind of our thing. Once
What do you guys feel has been, like the number one thing as far as, like, you guys going from, hey, you should just make your own pants to, like, where you're at now? What do you think is the number one contributor to that as far as business-wise, right? And then from where you're at now to where you want to be, what do you feel is going to be the most important piece to grow into?
What do you mean? Like, what kind of helped us grow the most?
Yeah.
I mean, I would just say overall, I mean, obviously growth is mostly, like, marketing and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, and just being overall, like, just consistent with it, you know, we try to post, you know, 3 times a week. We always at all times have something, like, on our story. We expanded into using different social medias and stuff too. So obviously, like, one of the big platforms now is TikTok. So I've actually started putting a lot more time into TikTok and stuff, and that's actually helped us out.
Your product
a lot.
Seems prime for TikTok.
Yeah, it is. It's helped us out a ton. We've gotten to work with some really cool big influencers like Iron Sanctuary, Ryan Stacks, Kale Brown, this Aquaman dude, Sherman Tank. All these dudes are over 1 million. And they've kind of been helping us out on, like, TikTok, kind of promote our pants and stuff. And I think that's a marketing route that a lot of businesses have not even taken advantage of yet, but it works so well.
And I'm trying to pull a little bit out of you guys too. I also feel like the product, right? That's so, like, good. When we talk about, like, from the real estate agents, like the real estate brokers, right? They're so concerned with, like, where do I get a lead? I need a lead. Mm-hmm. Let me call Zillow leads. Let me get on a team that will give me leads. And, like, there's just not enough conversation behind, hey, houses are commodities, okay? Yeah. You're the fucking product at first.
Yep.
Yes, the commercial property will become the product. It will be appealing. There'll be value to it. However, prior to that, like, when you're having an interaction with people, your ability to execute as a professional and educate them on a process and manage the process during, like, you're the fucking product first, you know? Mm-hmm. And I felt like when you guys were talking about the money you put into your product and how many samples, and not only samples and money, but time, you had to wait for that sample that was not important to wherever you were getting it from, because you're ordering one and they know you're not going to order 100,000. Even once you get the product right, you're probably going to order 1,500 of them. Like, you're not ordering 10,000-20,000 of them. You're just at that. You're not as high in the priority list quite yet, right? When you're new.
Yeah.
So there's money and time, right? And it's like, but the money you guys were putting in was, like, your own money. You guys are making a couple bucks doing your other jobs, and then the money you're making, you're putting into it, like, because at the end of the day, like, you wanted a good fucking product. And I don't think that's talked about enough nowadays. And especially when now step two is, like, man, we're branding, we're doing some cool marketing. I feel like you guys are being yourselves on social media, right? Like, you, quiet, you don't like it, so you're being you. Incognito, you're being you and having fun. But then, like, man, the people that you guys sponsor as far as that, wear your brands, or the people that these big names you're talking about, do they like your pants?
Yeah,
that's exactly what I'm fucking getting at.
We actually offered people money and they're like, no, we just want the product.
I tell people, like, literally, if they love the pants, do a video. If you don't like the pants, still keep them, but we don't expect anything from you. But if you love them, you know, that's please cool.
And you know how you can say that
promoting the pants, you know,
like, for us, like,
and that's what we did with UFC fighter Drew Dober. That was the very first athlete that we worked with. I gave him pants at I literally met him at 24 Hour Fitness, was like, dude, I always see you, like, wearing these tight pants. Like, try these out. These are going to be, like, the fit you like, but you'll actually be able to move in them.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he texted. I was like, if you don't like them, keep them. If you love them, you know, hit me up. He hit me up, like, the next day. He was like, dude, these are freaking amazing. These are the only pants I've been able to put on, and I could still, like, get in a street fight and beat the shit out of somebody.
Dude. And he could really do it.
Yep.
But, like, this is what I'm talking about, man. Like, these people that are getting around you, and you guys, like, the reason why you guys are able to market more, you got some big names coming around that are having fun, like, with putting the pants on and doing some cool shits because they actually like the fucking brand. Mm-hmm. And, like, this is where you start seeing some companies out there that do decent, but then you start getting those outliers that really just break the mold because people actually like First Form protein. Mm-hmm. Yep. People actually like first form greens and reds. People actually like jaywalkers. And that shit gets contagious between the guys you are helping. They have their own sphere, their own network that's like, hey, Drew, what are you wearing, bro? They're bad. Oh, dude, they are badass. Oh, is that like your sponsorship? Yeah. Yeah, but they're actually fucking cool. You don't think Denver Bronco people talk about that?
Mm-hmm.
Like they're sponsored by something like, nah, bro, don't. It's just money for me, bro. Don't use their pre-workout. Versus like they get sponsored by a company like, no, dude, their pre-workout's actually fucking good. Let me get you some. And then all of a sudden, before you know, like every Denver Bronco's taking something because like behind the scenes, whether it's a sponsor or not, people are going to gravitate to what they like. So this whole caveat of business is like, man, whether you're the product or you have a product, you can't water down how important it is to have a great fucking product. Right? Like you can't make chicken salad out of chicken shit. I talk about it all the time. So like, I felt like, man, it was so cool to hear you guys investing your own money and how important just one style of pants was. And I'm sure you guys are going to gravitate into more stuff in addition to just pants, right? But man, it was like this one thing.
Yeah, that's
these pants, this model had to be this good. Like that's so cool, man.
We would not compromise on the material. Like, We tried so many different materials. I mean, and that was a material we liked, the one that we initially got the pants from. But I reached out to the guy who, you know, we found a manufacturer. It took us a while, but we ended up finding a manufacturer that actually manufactured the original pair of pants that I liked.
Right.
And, I was like, so how much do we need to order? And this and that. Oh, you know, it's like minimum order $100,000. And we're like, oh, yeah, man.
It's like 12,000 pieces per color minimum, like, of like six colors. We're like, what? How like, are we supposed to fund
like $100,000? I mean, we're just starting. We're a startup company. We have no money. Like, can you just... But that was the minimum because he's a big company supplying to a big chain all across America. It wasn't like a little. No. This guy supplies to a big chain store
right
across the whole. So I was like, yeah, I get it. His minimum $120,000 is for
now. This person you're talking about, was he a broker or is he the owner?
No, he owns this brand. Okay, he owned the brand of the pants that I originally found that I liked.
So he wasn't the broker for it. He's the actual guy that owned it.
Yeah. So we couldn't go through him. It's like $100,000 minimum. So that's when Max got in contact with another local guy that we knew wasn't like, you know, he's local, so obviously he doesn't have to do as big of orders. So we needed to find someone with the lower minimum. So Max resourced another guy out, and,
We eventually had to pay him out.
Yeah,
to,
so Max, like I said, he's that guy.
Yeah.
He initiates everything. Me, I'm that guy. I kind of like, I'm quiet, but I kind of analyze the situation. No one does anything for free unless it's going to benefit him. So I'm like looking at it, like, what is this guy getting out of it? And I'm like thinking long term, what's going to happen if we keep this guy here? You know, he's going to get a cut. It's going to slow us down. So I just kind of, you know, I talked it over with him. Like, hey, you know, like, I know this guy helped us out. And I want to pay him for his time because, you know, I don't expect people's time for free. But, like, we're trying to expand fast. And we can't wait for someone in the middle to make, you know, decide when they're ready. So I was like, hey, we need to.
Well, and that's where, like, good brokers, you know, like for us, like, there's things that we spend money on.
Yeah.
And if someone's, like, having a broker that, if they're a value add, if they speed it up.
Yeah.
If they have their own intuition and help that they can do for us that like actually gives us some good pointers and they increase the experience and they allow access, that's a good broker. If they're not that value, like that's hard, you know. And so you guys knew this broker had, he knew a company or he owned his own company or what?
He owned his own company, but he also had the connection for us with the manufacturer. So okay. But we had to go through him, and you know, we realized the reason, you know, we were getting a product and we wanted it a little bit cheaper, but we couldn't get it cheaper because they were already offering him a deal on his product for getting us as a client for him.
But so he was, but he has his commission inside.
Yeah, so he was getting his. Hey, I'm bringing you these people. So
but
I
we were
cut.
Kind of at the same time. I feel like we were kind of passing him. Yeah, so that's why we needed to just.
We knew we were going to outgrow him. Yeah, we knew we were going to outgrow him. So we were like, hey, I mean, like
we saw.
I'll
tell you how you outgrew him because you knew the manufacturer.
Exactly. So we knew him, so we can get a better deal, direct contact.
Because like a good broker, like if I were brokering something that's my livelihood, you'll never know my manufacturer.
Exactly.
You fucking know me. Now, I'm going to speed it up. I'm going to have some great intuition, some good points. I'm going to make sure I'm a value to your business.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to introduce you to my supplier.
Yeah, and we knew that I mean, he had his own business to run, so we knew it was just him running
his
business.
He was just in a different direction.
Yeah, so we he's not going to be able to invest enough time to get us what we want. And like,
and that's when he's not worth his time.
Yeah, exactly.
100%. If brokers aren't expediting and enhancing a situation, they're in the fucking way taking a cut.
Exactly.
So. Yeah, that's exactly what.
And so, yeah, we just wanted to make sure, you know, because it's obviously our business, so we like, you know, we we want to get it done faster. And like I said, we knew we were going to grow fast. Like, I kind of knew after, you know, I was like, dude, I think people are really interested in this.
You know what's crazy about this? Like, you guys ever ride like a mountain bike downhill or a skateboard downhill?
Oh yeah, all the time.
Cool. So, you know, like,
that's why he's injured,
you
right
start
now.
Going, you start going fast. It's really cool. But you also realize
till the wobbles come.
No, yeah. even if you're not wobbling,
yep.
You're riding it downhill and it's like the faster you go, like it's really cool. But you start realizing, hey, the safest way down is to just, I have to maintain
commit. Increase
of speed.
Yeah, yeah.
If I slow down or stop, I'm actually going to crash.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's the same thing, right? Like you guys are like growing fast, but it's like, hey, that momentum actually needs to continue
mm-hmm.
for us to not fucking implode. Like we can't maintain or slow down or nope, like you got to keep riding that fucking wave until you blow the
pretty
fucking
much.
Roof off of it. That's what we're figuring out.
Mm-hmm.
It just, there is, you know what I mean? Like, but it's fucking fun though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what's the number one thing you guys are working on right now? Is there any like sneak peeks we can hear about? Shirts, more, I mean, pants, female pants.
Yeah. So yeah, we are actually going to expand for, cause you know, like when we initially did this, like, it's like always, it's like a niche. Like we knew there was a market that hadn't been hit, so we wanted to target our male crowd that, like, you know, we're in shape mm-hmm. and athletic. Like I said, originally,
and it's also proof of concept too.
Yeah, yeah. So it was also, it was originally bodybuilders, and we started noticing BMX bike riders,
yeah.
all the people, the skateboarders. They were
fucking
all,
everybody.
And we like,
who the hell doesn't want a pant that stretches that
yeah.
looks like jeans?
Yeah. They can put their pads underneath it. So a lot of guys like that they can like literally wear
cool.
their pads underneath their pants, and it's like. No one would ever know.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, it was originally for guys, and, you know, like, you know, and then women started complaining, like, oh, what about the stuff for women? We knew the women's side was saturated. They
yeah,
all
like,
got
you guys
leg-
have stretchy shit
yeah,
forever.
Exactly. So right. it was
yeah.
like, they can go into a restaurant in leggings, and it's fine.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
you catch me, a guy in leggings, going into a 5-star restaurant, they're going to look at me like I'm crazy.
No.
So we wanted something
unless
we could.
Unless you're Max. If I bet Max could pull that out.
Just wear a really long shirt, and I'll be good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, yeah, like, exactly. we wanted something we could go, you know, out and jump over a fence and then go in a restaurant and not people yeah. are not going to look at us like we're crazy. So it was like, you know, it's like business casual. So it's like,
yeah.
hey, this kind of our version of women's leggings,
yeah.
like we can go anywhere in
it's
it,
true.
Just like you can go anywhere in the leggings. Mm-hmm. So that market was saturated. We didn't want to deal with it. So we just focused on the male side. And then like females, you know, they would get their boyfriend's pants and they put them on it like, oh, I love how this fits.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted to try it, but we had sized it for men. Like we had got a whole bunch of guys and kind of did an average, thigh to waist circumference,
yeah.
and like obviously women are built different, and guys don't want their ankles super tailored tight.
Mm-mm.
If they were gonna do that, they'll just get joggers,
yes.
you know.
Yeah.
So, but the women, they want that tight ankle. So, like, you know.
Well, what's cool is like now that you guys grow into the women demographic, you kind of already have women at your disposal because you've sold to their boyfriends,
yeah,
and their
built
husbands,
an audience
exactly.
Already.
And so now
it's built an audience,
exactly.
Yeah,
so now, like, you know, now that we have our pants established. We actually are bringing someone else on, and they're going to do, like, a women's sportswear line.
Cool.
So they'll have leggings and stuff
and
like
it's going to look good, man. Like,
yeah.
your guys' pants, like, if you made the same pants you made now, hypothetically, right?
Yeah.
If you made the same pants you make now, but they were tailored at the ankle, right? If.
Yeah.
Or just, like, a business casual for a female,
mm-hmm.
they would look better than leggings.
Yeah.
Because, like, when girls come out in leggings, I'm not against, like, I'm not bashing anybody. Let me be careful.
Yeah.
To me, it doesn't look it does, like if you're in real estate and you're wearing black leggings with like a nice shirt, it looks underdressed. They don't match.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're wearing Jaywalkers with a blazer or something, oh, it matches.
Mm-hmm.
But yet they're flexible and stretchy, but you
yeah.
still get that business casual look and feel to them.
And it's funny because
yeah.
we actually had a tapered ankle at first, and then like we had to listen to customers' feedback. Like, hey.
Yeah.
You know, I can't wear this with certain items or at work.
Oh, okay.
So, like, we have to make adjustments. So we listened to that first batch. We listened to all the customer feedback, and we made adjustments on the
cool.
clothes based off, like,
mm-hmm.
what the majority of the customers were saying. There's always going to be someone unhappy.
Yep.
Someone's going to want the ankle tight. Someone's going to want it loose. So we had to go with the majority
right.
on what they wanted and the people that are actually buying from us.
Cool.
So, I mean, we're still right now making new sizes. Still, this is an ongoing process, and it's never going to be a perfect product. There's always going to be someone
well,
unhappy.
You guys have more options, though, too. Like, but, hey, when you're first
yeah.
growing, you got to have those one or two options do super
exactly.
well. And then, and, you know, in the end, as you guys expand your business, where, like, you're selling to realtors, to whoever, all of a sudden, if a business casual audience kind of comes into fruition, maybe that's where the tailored ankle comes from. But hey, until then, where you guys are selling at, if it's more fitted. But the bottom line is you're listening to your customer.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Super cool. Mm-hmm.
Super
yeah.
cool. What do you guys have planned? Like, I know we're getting out of here in a couple of minutes. I don't want to take the rest of your guys' day. But what's the biggest thing that you guys have coming up for this year? Or what do you guys feel is most important for you guys right now?
Traveling, getting out there. So especially since COVID.
Since COVID's over.
Yeah,
we
and
get
honestly.
Out there more, do booths and stuff
yep.
at some big events.
Yep. And COVID honestly helped us out a lot because during COVID, people were stuck at home.
Mm-hmm.
So
shopping the market,
exactly. So, you know, for a lot of businesses, it actually hurt them. But because we didn't physically have a store and everything was just stored in a basement, mm-hmm. It actually helped us. We had no our cost is low. And, you know, everybody's at home on their phone. So we're like, it was a perfect time to push ads. Mm-hmm. And while everyone else, like, that might have been struggling, we were thriving during COVID. Honestly. So, like, mm-hmm. I mean, it was, for some people, it was bad, but for us, it, like,
how did that come about? Like, when COVID was hitting, did you guys decide to triple down on some ads? Were you guys nervous at first? Like, where did it come from as far as, like, you guys taking an initiative to push through the storm of COVID?
I mean, I was definitely a little nervous at first because it sounded like, you know, all small businesses were taking a hit. But yeah, we quickly noticed that, like, it wasn't really, honestly, it could have possibly helped us because more people exactly. were shopping online rather than going into retail stores.
And you know what I feel too is like a lot of people that maybe are reluctant to shop online because they think it's a pain in the ass. Once they were forced to shop online,
then they
realized, oh, this isn't that hard.
Yeah.
And it's like a whole other audience comes in and they start buying.
A lot of people are, you know, scared to buy online sometimes because, you know, they buy the wrong size, they're unhappy, whatever. But, you know, we got Justin doing the, you know, free returns and exchanges. So that wasn't an issue for anybody. Like, hey, people are like, hey, I'm worried about, like, you know, I want to try your pants, but I'm worried they won't fit. I'm like, you know, don't worry about it. If you have any issues, email Justin and he'll take care of you immediately.
Customer service.
That's a big deal.
Having a good fucking product.
Great product, right.
And then just expanding your relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The whole thing has just been a huge learning process because none of us come from business or marketing backgrounds. Yeah. And we've just been learning it all.
Yeah, like it's learning as we go. Like he did the, like initially, like I said, he takes initiative. So the first thing we have to do is get an LLC, right? Mm-hmm. So,
well. Allegedly.
Yeah, so we had the idea.
This fucking idiot exactly. So
we actually were like promoting the product before we even had an LLC.
Oh,
so
yeah,
we already had started Instagram. And then he initiates. He, you know, he's always the initiator. He goes in and gets the LLC. And then we're like sitting there and he like fills it out and he's like, I was like, that's it? That's that easy? And then like we call the people like to make sure it was correct what he did. She's like, oh, you did this all by yourself? And like she's so impressed by Max that he like filled it out. That's and we're awesome. Like, kind of self-explanatory. You just go through the steps. It's like
that's the thing, dude. It's like Eli talks about it all the time. Like every once in a while, if Eli, you know, gets on somebody a little bit because he cares for them, he says things like, "Hey, fucking Google it." I think we literally had a podcast
dude, between Google and YouTube, bro.
Like, fuck, man. Like literally, like you can go Google like different educational classes. You can watch an entire curriculum from Stanford.
I could literally figure out how to do a. Take someone's appendix out from Google and YouTube. I swear to God.
We're not recommending
I mean, I didn't even have a coach. I just Googled everything, and I turned pro as a bodybuilder.
But, dude,
Google, but your resources.
But you got, like, you guys that are young in business. We're still young in our eyes in business, right? Like, but just it's these self-limiting circumstances that, like, people put on themselves.
They just
like,
don't
hey,
think
man,
they can do it.
Hey, dude, fucking Google the shit. Yeah. Start plugging away. Whatever you can't figure out, you will start figuring out along the way. But just get fucking going.
Just get started. Just take the steps. Yeah. And, like, when he did that and he did it, I was like, oh, crap. He really did it. So, I'm like, I can't back out now.
Yeah.
So, because, like, I was just going to, like, and then, like, well, he already paid for the LLC, so we might as well start doing it.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, he already took the steps. I was like, well, I'm not going to fail at it. I'm not going to start something and don't finish it. Like, I'm a type of person, if I start something, I'm going to finish it.
Yeah.
If I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm gonna keep going until I get it done.
Yeah.
What's the goal you guys think? Are you guys, like, big goal dudes? And I'm good either way. Like, I'm not necessarily, like, the dream board guy, right? But there's other stuff that I just naturally do that other people talk about. But do you guys have, like, a vision or a goal in mind is, like, as far as where you, like, you guys want your advertisement in Times Square one day, or you want a certain amount sold? Do you guys have, like, goals or ambitions or a vision? Maybe that's a better question. Do you guys have a vision as far as, like, where you see Jaywalkers?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're both kind of, I mean, I'm kind of speaking for both of us.
Yeah,
Justin might have a different opinion, but I think we're both just kind of wanting to get to that point where we don't have to, you know, do our other jobs and we can focus on this, get some more people on board and, you know, be able to, you know, run it and have way more just overall freedom to, you know, be able to do what we want to do, such as
where you guys have more
of
the influence to travel, where you're working.
Yeah, exactly.
You're working on your business, not in your business.
And I mean, we're going to expand and do more. Like, I think there's more businesses we're going to open, but I don't want it to be based off of, like, income. So, like, this is just the financial freedom is going to allow me to do what I'm actually passionate about. So, like, I mean, I didn't think I was – I didn't go to school for fashion design. Neither one of us did. We don't know anything. Like, we're sitting there, and the manufacturer's actually like, what do you want the seat to be? And we're like, what's a seat? Let me Google it. We have no clue about fashion design.
Justin's like, oh, I like a fat
seat.
Yeah, we're like, wide?
What does that mean, a seat? So like,
but here's what you guys did though. You guys were active dudes. You found where there was like a gap in the industry for guys. And like, you might not know the terminology, but you knew what would work.
Yeah.
Like you had the intuition of like, man, I don't know what this shit's called, but I know good shit when I get my hands on it and mm-hmm. when I put it on and when I fit it. And
that's actually a name for it now.
Then it's like trial and error, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was, how many samples did you guys do? Trial and error. But this is the whole thing, man. Like,
too many.
Dude, but the point is like, and maybe it took a little bit more because you weren't fashion guys. You didn't know certain things, but you figured it the fuck out. Like, mm-hmm. there's just not enough talked about in business where it's like, people just, the whole paralysis by analysis, you overthink everything to where you do nothing. Or like, hey man, you got an idea. Yeah. Just go figure it the fuck out. Stop asking me 30,000 fucking,
sometimes
just go figure it out.
Yeah,
it's always going to be that simple.
And then when it happens, you're like, is it really that simple?
Dude, when you hear about like Apple or Microsoft being started in a fucking garage, like, yeah, those guys are smart as shit. Doesn't matter. That's their craft. Mm-hmm. But it's in a garage. Like they just got fucking going. They just figured it out. You know, like, there's just some cool shit to that. Super cool shit to that.
I need to go buy like 5 pair of these today.
I'm better than you.
I know.
No, not better, quicker. Excuse me, that was painful. how can I say
where
that
can
to
people
you?
Find you guys?
Just www.jwalkersapparel.com or
JAW?
Just J, so just the letter J dash Walkers.
Where'd that name come from? I got to ask. We talked about it a little bit before the podcast, but before we get out of here, where'd it come from? Like, Justin was jaywalking, got arrested in the pants.
That's how it started.
Yeah, exactly. So, like I said, I had those pants on and, like, I was working a security job. So I was just like, I don't have time to go home and change. Like, I was too busy working between Fit Republic and that. So I was just like, I'm just going to work out in these pants. They're stretchy, you know? Yeah. And, like, people are looking at me, what are you doing, bro? You can't work out in these pants. I was like, why not?
No.
Like, why can't I?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and like, people aren't supposed to jaywalk, but they're going to just do it anyways because, you know, why not? They're crunched for time. Yep. There's not enough time. It's like, hey, I'm going to jaywalk. I need to get to where I need to go. So I was like, I'm just going to work
just
out.
Just pushing limits.
Yeah, like, you know, it's like, I need to get to where I need to go, so I'm not changing.
But think about it. So like, it's like idealistically. Yeah, like, hey, do I need to walk a half mile mm-hmm. down to the traffic light where there's a crosswalk and just fit into this box mm-hmm. that society and
tells me, yeah.
And yeah. conspiracies want me to fit into? Or mm-hmm. could I just like take some risk? Look both ways, maybe have to run a little bit, but fucking jaywalk and like go
exactly.
against the grain
exactly.
a little bit.
Exactly.
That's
so it's
exactly
about
how
push the
like
fucking limits.
Convenience and like versatility.
Exactly.
I would say, yeah.
So
like
you
like
can
that.
Do you. That's our slogan. So you can do like you.
It.
So just
yep. So you can do
saves
you.
Saves you time and get to where you need to do. Focus on what you're actually trying to do instead of worrying about what you're wearing. You mm-hmm. know, so that's kind of.
I could see like this after, if you, once you go to their Instagram and you see all their cool shit, like I could definitely, Eli, I could see like this jaywalker movement where you have like 3,000 parkour dudes downtown jaywalking
yeah.
from like downtown
yeah.
to like Southeast Aurora, just jaywalking uh-huh. for 20 miles,
yep.
parkouring it
yep.
the entire
yep.
way.
Yeah. That's
yep.
not
for
a
like
bad
a fucking
hey, we're actually
jaywalker
probably gonna
like
we're
pandemic.
Gonna, we're going to get that video made.
Like a bunch yeah. of like high speed zombies from I Am Legend.
It's great. Yeah.
In jaywalkers. It's
a great idea.
Just fucking ripping it.
Love it. Love
super
it.
Super excited, man.
Well, cool. Well, guys, listening, we're going to put in the show notes the link tree. You can find these guys, your guys' Instagram, all that stuff.
Absolutely.
We're going to put that on there. I'm legitimately going to go buy like 5 pair of pants today because that's my struggle, man. The thighs are too tight. Waist is too big.
Eli's got an onion booty. Booty so big. Make you want to cry.
That's the best. But that's it. So, yeah, we'll throw all that stuff in there. Will, any last words, bro?
No, man, I hope I didn't take the mic too much from you today. I just get so jazzed up from guys that are like, hey, I got an idea, mm-hmm. and we're going to go figure it the fuck out. We're going to commit to each other. We're going to commit to the product. We're going to commit to taking care of people and just watch what happens with that. Like, it's yeah. just powerful. And, man, like, I can say it all day. It's whatever. But when we can have some guests on that are actually in the trenches doing it, that can empower our audience and to just hear mm-hmm. more of what they're doing. And yeah, man, we're realtors. We've built something specific, but a lot of you guys that listen might not be in the broker world. This is not a real estate podcast. This is an entrepreneurship podcast. So having you guys on, man, I think it'll resonate to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. more importantly, man, like they got good shit. Go look it up, go buy it, have some fun with it. And if you guys do, let us know your thoughts on it.
It's cool. Right on, guys. Thanks for listening. Day One Dollar Zero out.